Morning, morning. Good to see you all. I know just so that you don't wonder the whole time, ek hink 'n pink so bietjie, because last night on the way back from a camp, we've got this actually two huge thorn trees just outside of our home. And it was night, and I stepped into one of those, like a pendoringsjong. And then it didn't want to go out, so I had to take my whole plucky and pull the thing out, kind of with. So I thought it was all right when I went to bed, but this morning when I got up, yes. So I know how it feels to have a thorn in the flesh. Yeah. So but the grace will be sufficient, I believe. No. So just if I'm not jumping up and down and doing all of that. As I usually do now. Before I forget, just for next week, and everyone is welcome. If you're visiting here this morning, you're also welcome. But the 6th of December, we are going to have just a social time. It's still going to be church. It's still going to be fellowship, but we're going to have it outside. So it's even more... it's healthier for in terms of compliance-wise and so, but we're going to just spend time together as a family of believers outside here and enjoy one another's company. So you are more than welcome to join us. We'll send some more details out through, but it just will be a bring and share, and we'll be together. Now, we have, over a period of time, have looked at 1 Peter 2, verse 9, which is a scripture around the priesthood of all believers. And what we're trying to do through that scripture is really just look at our identity. And as we sung this morning, you can put up that scripture so long, thanks. This morning is, we are His. And what does that mean? And what's the identity that comes with that? And for all of us, we have been created to receive an identity. You and I were never created to make our own identity, to have what they call be a self-made person. From the beginning, Genesis, God spoke over mankind. And so we receive an identity. And the first one is that we belong to Him. He's our Father. And the way that He communicates to us that we belong to Him is by stating who He is. I'm your Father. And for all the parents, it's so lucky to see Nell and is your wife here as well? Yeah. Ah, so lucky om julle te sien. And I mean, it's beautiful, the picture actually. We've got Rolf and it's Fritz's dad and the parents here together. And then we've got the young parents and we've got all these, this picture of a family this morning. And the way that our children receive identity is by us naming them and all of that. But primarily, in the initial phases, is by knowing that they are ours. They belong to us. We are their parents. We are their father or mother. And so they find their space, their place in the world by who they belong to. And it's the same with our spiritual life. It's by the one we belong to, that's how we're going to live. The father of lies, the Father of Heaven, Father of Lights. And so this morning I want to end off our series, if you will, on the priesthood of all believers by just looking at the scripture again and looking then at a family in the Bible. And I want to focus on here. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. This is the emphasis here. A people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Just keep it there. People for His own possession. When I was in Bible school and we had a bunch of memory verses. And so the translation I got this verse from said, a peculiar people. Whenever somebody is peculiar, you know they're different. They're different than the rest. And so this word peculiar, this own possession, it speaks of a group of people that are separate or separated unto. They belong to a different set of values, a different king or a different leader. They are different from the rest. And so as we consider our lives with God, we have looked at serving and that we can all minister. It's not just the one preaching on a Sunday. Everyone has gifts. Everyone has access to God. Everyone. But there's also the side is that you are different. And you and I should not try and be the same. Although there's this pull, there's this drawing to be relevant, this pull to be the same like everyone else, because then we can win them. And the point is, you are the same like everyone else. You struggle with sin, you need a Savior, and there's an eternity in your heart. Oh, we are the same, but we are different because of what God says. We give with cheerful hearts. You know, I was listening to Sean saying, and in our process with helping the boys, what are they going to give with the baked bean tins? One of our boys said, but I'm saving up for, and he's got a very big present that he wants to, or the thing that he wants to buy, some big motorbike, you know, dirt bike or so. And he's not going to be able to buy it now, but trying to convince him that it's really more blessed to give than to receive. It's difficult. Cheerfulness does not come easily always if you see in the wrong way. And so, but God, he gives us a new vision. He gives us a new nature. He gives us a new, and it doesn't mean that we completely are free from the old, but we can now choose God's way. Now, it says there are people for his own possession. And this morning I want us to be reminded as we sung here, we remind ourselves that we love God, we are his. I want us to look at a small family in the Bible, Jeremiah 35, to remind us of who we are. And we're coming to the end. We've been through an interesting year. Everyone has been through an interesting year, COVID and meeting and then online and this, that, and the other. And so oftentimes when the circumstances change, people get confronted with an identity change. They get, who are we? Are we still the same? Lots of people lost their jobs. Who are they now? Because they're no longer doing what they used to do. People changed how they are doing. And so there's a lot of these things. And our children, they've been affected with, and we've seen in schools and all of that taking place. Overall, people are under stress and people are under pressure. And knowing who we are in Jesus is so key. Knowing who God is and knowing who we are in him. And so I want to remind us as we're coming to the end of this year for that. And we're going to look at the Rechabites. Who's heard of the Rechabites? It's like very few people have heard of the Rechabites. But one chapter year in Jeremiah 35, and God uses this small, peculiar people, insignificant kind of, to declare a very big message of a very big God. Now, kind of a little bit of background here is the Rechabites came from Rechab, if I pronounce it right. Primarily, we hear of them of their father, Jehonadab. And he was the son of Rechab. And Jehonadab actually helped the king Jehu to deliver the people from the Baal prophets. So he kind of destroyed Baal worship during his reign. And it's a great thing. Then he did a few not so good stuff. So we're not going to get into that. But here's a lineage of people that come over a period of time. Jeremiah's prophesying now to Israel. And the way that the book of Jeremiah is written, it's not chronologically. It's about the different lessons or the different moral failures that the people went through and then the corrections that come and the words of the Lord in that way. So it's not chronologically. And yet Jeremiah goes back and he jumps and he speaks about the Rechabites. And the Rechabites were a people that they worked with iron, they made chariots, weapons, and they were kind of this nomadic family that traveled. And they would stay at one place until either resources dried up or there was no longer jobs for them, and they traveled. They never sowed, they didn't drink wine, they didn't have homes, they traveled. And they did this because their father, Jehonadab, told them to. And so now they close by, kind of an Arab group, refugees. The enemy was coming too close to their land, so they went into Jerusalem and kind of stayed there. But now this odd group of people that everyone knows about, they walk the streets of Jerusalem, and they stand out. They're peculiar. And people are talking about them. The Rechabites are here. Why don't they just settle down, get some land, get a home, and just be wise? You know, why do they always travel like this? And they stood out. And Jeremiah sees them, and the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. And God wants to speak to his household, but he's going to use the Rechabites. And so we come to Jeremiah 35, verse 6. And what Jeremiah just did, let me just read before that so that you can just get an idea, and then we'll focus on Jeremiah 35, verse 6. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the house of the Rechabites and speak with them, and bring them to the house of the Lord, into the chambers, and then offer them wine to drink. So I took the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habaznia, and his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them to the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Anan, and the son of Igdalia, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, keeper of the threshold. Then I set before the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they answered, here's verse 6, you can turn there on the screen as well. We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, you shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house. You shall not sow seed. You shall not plant or have a vineyard. But you shall live in tents all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, ourselves, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, and not to build houses to dwell in. We have no vineyard or field or seed, but we have lived in tents and have obeyed and done what all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. So, if you read this, you're like, why does God then tempt them? Yeah, that's one of the questions that come up. God tells Jeremiah, go put wine in front of these people that said they'll never drink wine. And God is not tempting them. God is setting the stage for a message. We have this group, the Rechabites. They've been commanded 200 plus years before to say, none of you shall drink wine. You won't have fields. You won't have a home. And this is the way you need to live. For a moment, think. Now, what I know of the Van Heerden boys, they weren't all that, hulle was nie altyd so soet nie. Maar, all of them are walking in the ways of the Lord at this moment. And so you can just think, we've got grandfather, father, son. Now, you ramp that up. I mean, this is about 60 plus years, 70 years. So, now you ramp it up 250 years. Son after one another. And they're all obeying that instruction. Sean and I were speaking this morning, saying, you know, every now and again we wonder how the children are going to... I mean, generation after generation, what a lineage of integrity. What a kind of... You just have this... They are steadfast, persistently obeying. Even when the man of God, a prophet, comes and sets wine before them, they say, sorry, we don't drink wine. Our father told us. And so you have this little group of people that are devoted to what their father, grandfather, great-grandfather said. They're devoted to this way of life out of faith. That father was in some way zealous for the Lord, and he set out a way of life, and they have separated themselves in a way of living in such a way. And Jeremiah is showing this and is being used to show forth this message to the people of God. They went in 200+ years, you go through a lot of temptations and reasons why not to live the way that you should live. We had 2020, a lot of people changed their way of living. Now just imagine, year in, year out. Year in, year out, generation after generation. And you know, we know, there always comes one of those brothers or sisters that are just different from the rest of the family. They choose their own path. They go their own way. It's like some of the other siblings ask, were they adopted or not? You know, what's this one? It's like, and now you have this, in some way, they got it right. To through the generations stay faithful to the instruction of Jehonadab. And this morning, I want to call us to look at the Rechabites, almost just like Jeremiah called Israel to look at the Rechabites and say, guys, this is who we are. We are a family of believers, God's family. Yes, we have families and singles, and we have all the different statuses in a sense together. But together, we are a family of believers that give ourselves year in and year out to a way of life, which first Jesus, and then there are certain practices, which I'll get to now. You know, the wisdom of the world would be, guys, settle down, find land, sow, build wealth, be a blessing to your children's children. So that would be the wisdom. If you just go read Proverbs. But these people did not base their life on the wisdom of the world. They based their life on the words of a father. And what God wants to come and say is, hey, God, and he's not telling the Israelites, don't have all of these things. He wants to highlight, say, is my word your way of life? Verse 14 to 16. The command that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept, and they drink none of to this day. For they have obeyed their father's command. I've spoken, this is God speaking, I've spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me. I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, turn now every one of you from his evil way and amend your deeds and do not go after other gods to serve them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to you and your fathers. But you did not incline your ear or listen to me. The sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have kept the command of their father that their father gave them. But this people has not obeyed me. And so God is saying, guys, is this really true? You see this people, they have had an earthly father that gave them an instruction. I, your heavenly father, send you prophets, send you messengers persistently over and over, and you're not obeying. And so God is putting this contrast to them. So I need you to hear. I need you to know who you are. I need you to know who I am so that you can live the way that I've called you to live. That you can live according to your identity. It says you have not. And this is what happens to the Rechabites. Jeremiah 35 verse 18 to 19. But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord of hosts, to the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall never lack a man to stand before me. What does that mean? It meant that this obscure group of people that in some way does not look as if they were really part of Jerusalem, Israel, they will always have someone, a priest, to stand before the Lord on their behalf. And so their obedience and their faithfulness did not provide for them, like we oftentimes hear in some churches, if you give this now, you will receive this. If you, and all the different prosperity, and if you obey now, it's going to be easy. And that's oftentimes what we struggle with, is when we are walking the way that God wants us to walk, and we do the right thing, and things don't go our way, we have the question, but why, God? And here we have a group of people that just kept obeying persistently in this sense. And they did not have much. They lived a simple life. They lived a nomadic life. They did not have lots of wealth and all of that. But they had somebody who stood in the presence of the Lord for them. Oh man, it's beautiful. They did not have much possessions, but they had a person. And as we consider ourselves as a family of believers, in some way God is looking at the Rechabites and He's saying, guys, I want the church to be like that in the world. I want there to be a peculiar people who has found and who has obeyed the instructions of their Father year in, year out, persistently. And they are walking the streets and they are peculiar and they are different. And everyone looks at them, but they learn from them. It's not extravagant, but they are an example. It's not lots of possessions, but they have the person of Jesus Christ. And as we consider, and one of the scripture portions that for us is dear is Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, we see that there's this practice, these habits of life, that we have the person of Jesus. We have Him close by, and in that way of life, we give ourselves to Him. We give ourselves to His teachings in the Scriptures, through the leaders. We give ourselves to the fellowship of the brethren. We give ourselves to prayer. We give ourselves to gathering in homes together, the kind of fellowship of the saints. We give ourselves to trusting God for miracles and signs and wonders. We give ourselves to go out and tell people about Him. This is who we are, a peculiar people, different, set apart, but belonging to a Father, belonging to the living Father. The Rechabites had a dead father whose instructions kept them. The church has a living Father, who does not just give instructions and leave us and wait there at the end for us. No, He gives us Holy Spirit, who in Himself becomes the law upon us. There's the law of the Spirit of life. He becomes the instructor. He becomes the enabler. He is the one that everything that we need to live according to the way that God has for us, we have. And what the Rechabites show us is that normal people, relevant people, people like you and me, people that do not have much. And it's interesting how the Bible kind of, God makes sure in the Bible that it's not just the fancy guys, it's not just the guys with the high IQ and the big cars and all of that that gets to walk with Jesus. No, it's for every person. It is about that heart that is awakened to God. And He says the Rechabites, who seemingly have nothing, seemingly have, they're just traveling. Look at them. If they can do it, you can do it. If they can stay faithful, how much more can we stay faithful? Not in our own strength, not in what we can do, but almost when Paul was praying, let this thorn go away from me, let it deliver me. My grace will be sufficient. He gives His grace. He says to you as the church of Jesus Christ, you are the people that belongs to me, a peculiar people, a holy nation, who once did not have mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And I want to send you out to proclaim the good news. The good news that all are welcome. The good news that whosoever confesses and believes. The good news that, hey, there is a Father. And it's incredible how our hearts yearn for belonging. Hey? We're just drawn to belong. We just had a camp there just outside Bonnievale. And we started camping, and then some Cape Townians, very English, pitches up tents next to us now. Some of my family, they didn't talk lots of English. You know, we kind of like way on the other side, just with our children speak better English than the family. They asked them. So now you find these two, and the kids just want to belong, and they want to find space, friendship. And our youngest one, he's 5 years old, and there was another little boy, 4 years old. He's Engels, jong, heeltemal. Hey, my four-year-old doesn't speak much English. But they had conversations, like two old men. They sat on the camp chairs, chatted, and this. The other kids are playing in the water, these two little old men. I just wanted to give them a coffee or something that they look the part. But they and that sense of belonging and being drawn to companionship, being drawn to company, that is in us. And what the world is longing for is to belong forever, to belong eternally. It is something, and we will do lots of things. People do the weirdest, the most sinful, some of the wackiest things just to belong. And we've got the message. It says you belong. There's a Father. And as a church, I want to encourage you, if there's a sense of I'm out of place, it is a lie. I sometimes get faced with that lie. And I lead with these guys this. If the temptation comes to everyone, but just because it comes to you doesn't mean it's the truth. And the truth is what our Father says. And the Father has called us unto Him. He's called us to one another. And He's called us to the world. He's called us to live in this way. And so I know some of you are visiting and maybe just here for the sun or so, but I want to call you to find a place where you can belong like that. Where you can become like the Rechabites. An example that you might be insignificant, but their significance came because God worked through them. God used them. That's where their significance lied. Not in what they had achieved, all of that. It's in the fact that God could use them to speak His purposes, His plans. Let's be that. We're a family of believers. We belong to God. We find our place in Him as a person, in His promises, in His precepts, and in His practices. Acts 17, verse 28. Paul speaks and he says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for indeed we are His offspring." And so we belong in God. We live and move and have our being in Him, and from there. And that is the life of the priest. The priesthood of believers speaks of that. We live in Him and then from Him into the world. We don't have to become like it. We should not. But touch it. Heal it. Help it. And bring them in. Awesome. Come, let's pray. Lord, this morning we remind ourselves that we are Yours. We are Yours, Lord. It might be a silly answer to the world, but when we are asked, "Who are You?" we are Yours. We belong to God. We have names. We have jobs. We have careers. We have families. We have all these different things. But Lord, we are Yours. We live and move and have our being in You. And this morning I pray that by Your Spirit You would come and settle every heart in that. Lord, that at Your declaration, You said, "You are ours, Lord. We are Yours and You are ours, Lord." And we thank you for that. Thank you that no one is alone here this morning. No one has to be outside. You've called everyone in. The call has gone to everyone. I just pray, Lord, that you would come and set us in that. Dust it off if that identity has come on dust, Lord. So I want to ask you, if that's you this morning, that you've just forgotten who you are. Just commit yourself there where you are right now to the Lord. It's a response. It's not something that you have to do and then you know. God is standing in that sense, eternally saying, in Christ Jesus, I am with you. And you just respond and say, yes, Lord, I am yours. I am yours. And if you have maybe neglected, like the Israelites, you've stopped being faithful to the ways of God, the instructions of God, and you just need to come back to Him in that way. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going off here. Right now. It's the moment. Just repent. Just say, Lord, here I am. Help me. I'm not giving myself to your word or not shutting the door. I'm not giving myself. I'm neglecting the gathering of the saints or not praying. I'm not living in you. It's not a condemnation this morning. It's a call into Him. Say, yes, Lord, this is who we are. We are together in Him. Not just as individuals, but together as a church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I do want to extend the invitation. If there's anyone that, as I was praying, you were completely, you're outside of the family of God. You know you're not part of the family of God. And you want to just give your life to Jesus in that way. You want to become part of the family of Jesus. I'd love to pray for you. And if you can maybe just briefly put up your hand, then I can pray for you. Is anybody like that? Okay. Right. If there is anybody and you are a bit afraid to put up your hand now, you're more than welcome to just speak to me afterwards. Love to pray for you. And you can become one of His. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord just by ending off. And it's like an anthem. Of just what the Lord's desire is, and that we have been called unto Him, and then we also go out, and it's for Him. Amen? Let's do that. Let's worship Him.
Every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory. For every soul is one. For the Lamb has conquered, and I will follow him to the ends of the earth, and I will follow him. Let's make this our declaration. For the Lamb has conquered, and I will follow him to the ends of the earth. And I will follow him. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory. Soul is one. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory. Yes. Oh, till every soul is one. Jesus, you're worthy. Of every tribe and tongue, it's all for your glory. To every soul is one. The harvest is ready. We have to go. We won't stop till the whole world knows the power in your blood. To save every soul, we're not ashamed of the gospel. No, no, the harvest is ready. We have to go. We won't stop till the whole world knows the power in your blood. To save every soul, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, the harvest is ready. We have to go. We won't stop till the whole world knows the power in your blood. To save every soul, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for yes, till every soul is one. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory. Till every soul is one. The harvest is ready. We have to go. We won't stop till the whole world knows the power in your blood. To save every soul, we're not ashamed of the gospel. The harvest is ready. Yes, we have to go. We're not ashamed.
Till the world
knows the power in your blood. To save every soul, we're not ashamed of the gospel. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. It's all for your glory.
For your glory.
Till every soul is one. Jesus, you're worthy.
So worthy, so worthy.
Of every
time and time.
It's all for your glory. Till every soul is one. And I will preach the gospel. I'll die and be forgotten. As long as you get the glory. And I will preach the gospel. I'll die and be forgotten. As long as
you get the glory.
And I will preach the gospel. I'll die and be forgotten. As long as you get the glory. And I will preach the gospel. I'll die and be forgotten. As long as you get the glory. Cause Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory. Till every soul is one. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory.